This evening we are singing in Psalm number 17 as we come again to worship the name of the Lord. We sing the opening verses 1 to 4. Lord, hear the right, attend my cry, unto my prayer give heed that doth not in hypocrisy from feigned lips proceed. And I want you to take special notice this evening of the last verse 15. Which, as we shall see, has a particular relevance for what we're thinking about this evening. Psalm 17, the last verse reads, "But as for me, I thine own face in righteousness will see, and with thy likeness when I wake, I satisfied shall be." Psalm number 17, the opening verses, 1 to 4. Join together once again in prayer. Heavenly Father, it is always good for us to be in the presence of the Lord, and in the presence of the Lord's people and the Lord's word, where we are in the presence of Jesus Christ himself, who has promised that where two or three are gathered together, that he is there in the midst. Always, according to his promise, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age. And so this evening, once again, we would covet a sense of that worthy presence and the welcome that is given to each one of us as once again we approach the throne of grace. We're reminded in the scriptures of so many good things, so many bad things also, but so many things to encourage us. And above all, to be reminded that where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And that God has dealt with the great issue of sin and death once and for all. And that Christ has not only overturned and defeated, but he has more than overcome the terrible tragedy brought upon us by Adam in his first sin. And we give thanks then this evening that there is such a thing as the gospel, the historical record of the coming of Christ and the things that he said and did, and above all the death that he died, his burial, the seal of the reality of death, and his resurrection the third day, the mark of his victory over death. And these things we find recorded in the scripture as historical realities. Soberness and truth, recorded by eyewitnesses, recorded in such a manner as to become believable to every culture and to every generation until the end of time. As we read these gospel events, we are struck by the supernaturalism of them on the one hand, but also the sheer natural aspect on the other. We are brought into the very presence of a real man living his life in this world, surrounded by friends and enemies alike, doing great things, witnessed by multitudes, being recognized as a great prophet, and being recognized increasingly as the Messiah, the Son of God, the Son of Man, who has come from glory to share with us and to give his life a ransom for our salvation. And as we think about these things again this evening, in our singing and in our reading and in our study of the Word, we pray that we would indeed be caught up into the glorious reality, not only of what these words are saying, but the meaning for our lives, the experience of these things for ourselves. And we give thanks, Lord, that the gospel is not simply a story far off, a story outside of ourselves. It is a message of what God has done outside of our experience, but God brings that great, glorious event into our experience in a new birth, in justification and sanctification, in the life of faith and the life of glory that is promised and will yet come and will never end. And so we give thanks for this further opportunity, O Lord, to be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And as we gather now around that word, we pray as we always do for our loved ones, for our neighbours, for our families, for our rulers over us, for our very enemies. We pray for the church and the churches in these unusual days, and the preachers of the gospel and the hearers of the gospel and those who perhaps tune in, as it were, to hear the gospel in these days of closure, yet the word of God is still sounding forth and is being recorded, and sermons in the past can be logged into and listened. And the long history of Christian teaching and preaching ever since these recordings have begun, they are there for the asking and for the hearing and all for our good. And it may well be, Lord, that these things will be the only means of grace, opportunities to hear. It may be that churches will be closed by persecution or human powers and human forcefulness and antagonism to the gospel. And yet these sermons are recorded, the books have been written, the scriptures have been printed and translated, and these things can never be undone. What is written is written, what is spoken is spoken. And the gospel will be preached one way or the other. This gospel will be preached in all the world before the end comes. And so we join in, and we enjoy joining in this evening's worship and proclamation and defence and explanation and experience and application of the gospel. And so we give thanks, O God, for the opportunity of our gathering together here once again around the Holy Scriptures. And so we pray this for God's glory. And through Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is a tremendous chapter, really. And it says a great deal about what we're thinking about this evening. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and Paul writes at the beginning, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. We have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this body, in this tabernacle, this tent, we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that has wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also has given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labour, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to what he has done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory or to boast on our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them who glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then all died. Then were all those who had died. And that he died for all, that they who live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth now we know no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth we know him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he, God, has made him, Christ who knew no sin, he made him to be sin for us, in order that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And I also want to read some verses from 1 Thessalonians. While we are still reading, let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And again, tremendous words that we should really study and meditate and remember at great length. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we begin to read at verse number 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede or prevent or go before them who are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And there's one more verse that I want to read whilst we're still reading. And it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And just this one verse. Behold, at verse 51, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. And so on. May God bless these readings of his word. Now, the notices, of course, are the following. We remind you of the Wednesday meeting, as usual, 7 p.m. on Wednesday. And then, of course, the next Lord's Day, the usual hours, 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. And once again, we seek to encourage those who listen in to these services online. And we would encourage you to take the opportunity. And to take the opportunity at the time, we know that people sometimes, some we understand, listen in beforehand and others listen in later. And that's fair enough. It's better to listen in. And as we say, better to be late than never. But it's good if we could try to be together at the time, knowing that we are part of a wider company. And I would encourage that time slot that we would normally be occupying if we were meeting in the church under normal circumstances. So it's a good thing to gather together in that way and at that time if possible. And always we, of course, welcome visitors who listen in with us. And the offering, we just remind you that the offerings are still part of our worship of the Lord. So we sing further to God's praise in Psalm number 17, and we sing verses 5 to 9. Psalm number 17 at verse 5 to verse 9.